What is up, you beautiful people? Welcome back to another episode of the Built on Bitcoin podcast. I'm your host, Jake. You'll see me around as Jake Blockchain. And today, we have the team members from Cybita Mining, which you've seen the Cybita Guild. And this is a sub-project within the guild that is solely focused on unlocking proof-of-transfer Lyte tokens, which we all know as this thing that connects stacks to Bitcoin. It allows you to get your Bitcoin yield, but it's much more than that. And we've seen that with the CityCoins project, which has been huge. Everybody's hyped about it, and it uses this POX Lyte protocol. But there's much more that could be done with that. It's a whole new design space that I didn't realize could fund a whole bunch of different things. You could open up mining for a little while, have it kind of be like a perpetual IPO in a sense. So we talk about some POX Lyte stuff. We go into some questions around if you're a new Clarity developer, what's the best way to proceed? Because two of these guys didn't start till this year. And a bunch of stuff like that. So great talk. I've been a miner since Pool 1 of Miami Coin. I've gotten to know these guys kind of over the months in different forms and fashions. So I'm excited. And just enjoy this conversation with three of the members of the Cybita Guild, Botide Munib, NVIDIA, and Diopitus.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
A good place to start with you guys. I think you guys have a pretty well-known name in the ecosystem, but it's kind of like the group has as much power as the individuals, but some of you guys individually are still kind of like on the edge. People don't really know about your guys' background. So maybe a brief overview of each of your guys' backgrounds and what your kind of unique skill set is or what you bring to the Cybita Guild. And we could maybe start with you, Munib.
Yeah, sure. So my background is in finance and investments. I manage a multi-billion dollar investment portfolio for a business. And, I've been doing that for probably, I guess, going on almost 10 years now. It's a good gig, but, being in the investment space, you see the writing on the wall that like blockchain is coming and it's really going to transform a lot of what's going on in like the legacy financial system. And so I wanted to be a part of that, right? And, I found Stacks and I was like, this technology is great. And, then I found out about CityCoins. And, I came to the conclusion on my own probably a couple of years ago that like government is really broken and that primarily broken because there's no feedback mechanism like with results, right? Like if you own a business, if you have a business, that business, the value of the equity of that business is really going to fluctuate based upon the value that that business is providing and, the value that it's providing to the equity. With government, there's no accountability for results. There's less accountability for results, right? Because these officials are elected into office and there's like no key performance indicators or metrics that they're measured based upon, right? There's no market feedback mechanism. And I think that CityCoins really maybe has the potential to really, create that market feedback mechanism. So anyway, that's my background. I'll pass it off to Dio.
Yeah, so I'm Dio Pittis. I go by Dio for short. My background is in digital marketing and software development. So currently I've been focusing a lot on development, as has been the case with kind of, all the building that we've been doing lately with the CityCoins project. So specifically for Cybita, mainly the projects that I've been involved in have all been around, initially when we launched MiamiCoin.com, which was where Miami Coin was activated by miners. It was mined as well as people can still stack there. And then working on the decentralized pool, Mine.Miami, which Botype had briefly touched on, which basically was just a completely decentralized way of mining. And then now Cybita Mining, which we're going to have be the kind of go-to place for all types of tools, analytics, as well as using kind of a hybrid smart contract approach for mining. So the smart contract is actually you know, being able to hold all the funds, being able to mine. But we are able to, you know, using our analytics behind the scenes, most effectively mine using it versus, you know, it just mining a certain amount every block.
And are you doing more front end or smart contract? And how's it been working in this kind of Web3 era?
So Web3 has been amazing. I've loved the experience that I've had. I mostly work on the front end, but I do a little bit of Clarity. But NVIDIA is the Clarity prodigy of our team.
Got it. Okay. NVIDIA, what's some of your background and your deadly skill set?
Hey, a year and a half ago, I dropped out of school to do software engineering full time. And earlier this year, in like February, March, I really wanted to get into crypto, but it felt like there's a very high barrier to entry, you know, with like maths and just technical skills, which I didn't necessarily have as many of at the time. And then I came across the Civita Guild, and I mean, it just seemed like a really amazing place where people were coming from all different backgrounds wanting to start really cool projects and stacks. So yeah, I reached out to Asteria and he introduced me to Dio. And I mean, we just started working on things together, starting with SidePool. And at the time, like I really wanted to learn Clarity. I had never learned any kind of smart contract language before. So I just spent like weeks just like really, really getting to the bottom of it and I'm figuring it all out. And now I can get up smart contracts like pretty quickly. We always knew a little bit of like front end stuff, but we've both been learning it together. And trying all these new frameworks, trying which ones fit us best. And yeah, it's just been really fun.
And when you say dropped out of school, are you talking high school, college? Because like given the Civita Guild, none of that's off the table.
Yeah, it would be high school.
Got it. You guys are crazy. What has been some of the big like things or unlocks that you've learned from Clarity that you might pass down to someone who's new? Because I'm going into Clarity Universe cohort 2. Like this next year is going to be educating people on Clarity once I learn it myself. So what would you say to someone like me who's about to deep dive into it? Any advice?
Well, for me, what I find most useful was really just asking more questions when you're unsure of something, because I'm really terrible at that. Like I'd spend hours on just one little problem where I know I could ask like at a question and someone will get back to me. Like I know I could do that, but then I was just scared to do that. And it's just, I wasn't used to doing that. So, but it can really help accelerate your learning if you just keep on asking questions. Like obviously you want to try first. You don't want to just ask it immediately, but as soon as you hit that wall, you're better off just giving up and just asking someone, because it's going to be someone that knows the answer. And yeah, Especially with a new language such as Clarity, the docs aren't necessarily that thorough in terms of covering like a lot of different use cases for what you're trying to do. But yeah, so just the community is really where you want to look for.
Interesting. Yeah, one of the things that I quickly understood once I started doing a little bit of computer programming is that the computer is very literal. Like, it's going to take your code, and if it's bad, it's going to spit out incorrect things. But coding is pretty creative. There's, like, 20 different ways to achieve the same end result. Do you think a good way to learn Clarity specifically is to look at smart contracts? Because everything's out in the open. To look at, like, a public-facing, well-known, or highly used contract, like, say, the Megapont marketplace contract, and reverse engineer it. If you were trying to fast track some of your development time and learn proper, almost like guardrails, is that something you might do if you're going back?
Well, personally, when I read like some of the other contracts, like especially one of the first ones I looked into, like the most commonly used one would probably be the stacking contract. But it just looks like a bunch of like gibberish. Like at the time for me, I had no idea what was going on. But one thing you do notice, if you do look at a bunch of different contracts, you see that a lot of them do things in common with like their maps and stuff for keeping track of users. And it's just those kind of things that it's something you could come up, you could figure out yourself if you're building your own if you're building your own idea in a contract. And I think if you did it by yourself before before just like copying it, like trying to intuitively figure out why it would work, really solidifies your understanding in it. Well, that's what I did originally. That was before I even like figured out that I could just ask people for help. But yeah.
No, that's good advice. It's the first thing I felt when I stopped doing a tutorial, is that you feel kind of naked and afraid when you just have like a blank IDE and you just gotta type it whenever you type in. You're like, I don't even know where to start. So that's good advice, just to kind of like hack away, and then when you get stuck, someone out there is willing to help and has probably been in that same scenario, because you're all kind of in similar scenarios of being at the bleeding edge.
Yeah. So the decentralized one that we had for Miami Pool, it was actually the first contract I had ever written. So that was when I was learning Clarity, is when I wrote that. And it's just loads of different iterations, just slowly getting there. And eventually we got it.
The Savitagil's been building a bunch of stuff in the Stacks ecosystem, and they're pretty well known for being early adopters and supporters of the Citycoins protocol. What exactly is Savita mining?
Yeah, it's a great question. Savita Mining is a platform designed to pool capital for mining proof of transfer Lite tokens. So currently we're focused on Citycoins, but we hope to expand into other proof of transfer Lite tokens as the Stacks ecosystem develops. And we also hope to actually, potentially push some of those projects forward. You know, the proof of transfer Lite mechanism, you know, like Citycoins is the first implementation of this, and it's a brilliant implementation that I think really does potentially solve like a real problem. Like, how do you create a market feedback mechanism for cities? And also, you know, attract stakeholders globally to your city, right? So I think that's one potential benefit. But then there's also, there are so many things you could do with the proof of transfer Lite mechanism, where, you know, you could use that effectively as like an equity funding mechanism. So, you know, you could have a project that has a token, you fund that project by mining the token, and you could set it to where like maybe you mine it in spurts, right? So like allow for mining, for like 100 blocks or 200 blocks or 300 blocks, and you release so many coins, and then you just shut it off, and you're like, we're not going to mine anymore because we've raised all the funds we need to do this project. And then, wait and see what kind of, you know, results you get, right? So I think that there's a lot of potential that could come out of just the proof of transfer Lite mechanism alone. And we want to really try and, you know, push that forward and develop it.
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought about, so you guys are thinking about the proof of transfer, proof of transfer Lite mechanism in all of its potential use cases. Because, yeah, in that kind of scenario where you have this like scarcity and a small window, you can have a burst of interest, and people can mine it and show interest by speaking with their dollars in a sense, and then they get their token, and that could be, you know, part fractionalized ownership or something like that, to kickstart or fund some kind of development or application.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that. That's super interesting. Can you go a little deeper? How
do
you guys think?
Yeah. So, I think first you need. So I actually believe that maybe the proof of transfer Lite, the whole mechanism itself, may have, you know, like Citycoins is obviously a great, a great project. And I believe that there's already traction, right? You've already seen Francis Suarez effectively, you know, in the city of Miami, they've picked up the bag. You've seen Eric Adams of New York, he's effectively come out and said that they want their own Citycoin. They're likely to pick up their bag, right? So you're already starting to see adoption of the actual protocol. But I also believe that you could just as easily see these kinds of use cases with like a real business, and again, like use that as like an equity funding mechanism. I think that there's a lot of different things that you could do, right? So you could have, you could have the stacking rewards effectively. Like you could allow for like continued mining, for instance, right? You could like the mining could go on forever, but you could change the payout from being, you know, say 30% goes to the, the wallet of whatever business it is you're funding. You could have the business say, well, you could have like a DAO setup, right? Where that business is effectively run by a DAO, and that DAO can decide to say, set that wallet contribution for the business to zero. So that way all stacks that go into mining actually get paid out to the stackers, right? So there are so many different things that you could do there to really fund a business. And, you know, I think Patrick has talked about this as well. You know, he's mentioned Affinity Coins in the past. So I think it's kind of like that. You know, like there are so many different use cases and different things that you could fund. There are also like industry standards. So there's somebody within the guild. His name's Brian. I can't pronounce his last name, or I can't remember his last name off the top of my head, but he's from Austin, and he's been talking about a project called Holecoin for a while. And the idea there is effectively like, you know, let's create an industry standard for Whole Foods effectively, or like better for you consumer products. And like, let's put it on the packaging, right? Let's say that this is a Holecoin compliant, product. And then if, you know, consumers were to buy that product, maybe they could get some of that Holecoin. Maybe they could redeem their purchase for a small amount of Holecoin or something like that as like a rebate, and in that way kind of be engaged in the ecosystem. So, you know, it's just one idea, right? But I think that the idea has legs, and I think that we could probably take it and do something with it. And so, you know, it's on the horizon. It's on the roadmap. It's maybe not something that we're going to do tomorrow, right? Because we're busy really trying to build out the functionality around Citycoins and improve the user experience around, you know, getting access to mining, stacking, Citycoins, all of those things, effectively managing your Citycoins portfolio. So we want to build out that use case first, but, you know, we believe that the proof of transfer light mechanism, you know, that has a diverse and broad set of use cases.
All right. You just blew my mind a little bit, because I went into this expecting to talk mostly about Citycoins. And I think we'll continue down that path, but we'll have to have another call in the future just on this the broader implications of proof of transfer light. Because, yeah, I think there's a ton there that I'm trying to think in the moment, and I can't do it while also fielding questions, but yeah, that's pretty fascinating. But the Citycoin specifically, in the broad scope, why should someone use a pool compared to just going themselves?
That's another great question. You know, I think that the answer there is simply to distribute risk or minimize risk, right? You know, especially at the outset of mining Citycoins, the bidding can be pretty competitive. You know, I think we saw New York Citycoin blocks go for like 5,000 stacks per block, you know, for a while there at the very beginning. And, you know, if you're like a small miner, let's say you have like 100 stacks that you want to, you know, potentially invest in Citycoins, right? You can't get access to that because there's nobody that's selling it at the outset, right? Because, you know, nobody's had time to list it on an exchange. It hasn't even been mined into existence. But if you want to get access, early access, you know, if you go and bid 100 stacks on a single block where the bid is 5,000 stacks per block, well then, you know, your odds are what? Like 2% of winning that. So, you know, you have a 98% chance of losing all of your stacks effectively. And what we do is, you know, we create these mining pools where you can put in 100 stacks and you're almost guaranteed to win some amount of the Citycoin, right? So you can effectively reduce your risk by pooling your capital with other like-minded individuals.
Definitely. And what you guys have done, a multitude of pools, both for Miami Coin and New York Coin. What has been the result so far? How many pools have you guys done? And what's been some of the yield of the results from some of those?
Great. Yeah, it's a good question. So for the Miami pools, you know, those were the very first ones. And the Cyvita Mining, we started mining at the very launch of Miami Coin, right? So we've been mining pretty much since the beginning. When we started then, it was like a private pool. And, we were still figuring it out. But we mined, I think, 6 manual pools that were managed by myself and one other. And then in the meantime, Dio, NVIDIA, and at the time, Astaria, were working on building out Mine.Miami, which was effectively a smart contract mining solution. And that went on for a while, but you know, there was some network congestion that was going on at the time, and effectively the implementation was slowed down to such an extent by the network congestion that didn't really work. So we had to kind of go back to the drawing board and rebuild it. But in total for Miami, we deployed 1.3 million stacks, and we mined 121 million Miami coin. And then for New York City coin, we have had three pools so far. We're on our fourth pool, and we have deployed about 2.5 million stacks, and we've mined over 195 million New York City coin. So in total, we've deployed like 3.7 million stacks, and we've mined about 317 million City coins.
Those are some heavyweight numbers.
Yep.
Some I think people are curious about, because that the hype on City coins has been huge, and everyone sees the potential, but a lot of it has been stuck in that phase where it's just potential, and a lot of the price as it's going down is because people are getting a little disenchanted, I think, of things not happening quick enough. And we've seen that with Miami coin, where it's just kind of been trending. It was peaking and valleying a little bit, and now it's just kind of been trending downwards in the past month and a half to 2 months. Two questions. One, how has that affected mining? And two, what do you think are the factors that are playing into Miami coin's price and mining the coin?
So I would say, first off, the trend that we've seen has pretty much been like a steady decline in the amount of stacks per block. So I think now with Miami coin, you know, we're down below 500 stacks per block. I think, you know, we've even seen some that have been as low as like 250 stacks per block. So, you know, you're seeing that demand fall off quite a bit. And you're also starting to see it with New York City coin. I think maybe with New York City coin, it's because folks are pretty, you know, exposed to New York City coin, and there's not a lot of liquidity because it hasn't been listed on an exchange yet. But in terms of like the price factor, so without having, so, you know, like what we saw with Miami coin was that, you know, it was mining pretty cheap up until it got listed on OKCoin. And then when it got listed on OKCoin, OKCoin also incorporated the stacking functionality. And with that stacking functionality, you could effectively, like, they were showing an APY that was like, you know, 500, 700%, you know, some ridiculous number. And I think that draws a lot of eyeballs, right? So if you're somebody on the OKCoin platform, and maybe you've never heard of Miami coin, or maybe you've never heard of New York City coin or whatever, and you see this 700% APY coin that you can buy and stack, and you see that it's trading at like 2 cents a coin or something like that, you're probably thinking like, one, there's probably price appreciation here. And then two, I can earn a fat yield on this, right? So I think that that creates a lot of demand right there, like at the outset, and that causes kind of a pop in price. And then I think, you know, as the stacking rewards fall off, right, because there's, for the first 10,000 blocks of any City coin mining, there's kind of a bonus reward period where the amount of City coin you get per block is like 250,000 City coins. And then after 10,000 blocks, it drops down to 100,000 City coins for like 4 years, right? And so whenever you see that drop off, you know, the total stacks that are going to be bid on those blocks are also going to go down, which means that the yield is going to go down, which probably means that maybe the demand for buying and stacking that coin is also going to go down. In the long run, I would say that all of these City coins are ultimately, the value of all of these City coins are ultimately going to be determined by the utility of the token itself, right? So how well integrated is it to, you know, the city that it's named after, right? So how well integrated is Miami coin with Miami? How well integrated is New York City coin with New York City? And then the use cases that get built on top of that, right? And, you know, I think so far we haven't seen any super interesting use cases, but, you know, we're thinking about it, and we're trying to do what we can as well to push that forward. So I think a big aspect of this is just education and attention, right? In the crypto space, there's so much going on all the time, and everybody's kind of chasing the hot new shiny thing to such an extent that I think that people overlook really good projects, you know, and I think CityCoins is a great project. So I think that another, you know, real potential use case here is, or not even potential use case, but just like, how do you get people interested in the project? I think you have to educate people, right? It's not very straightforward. It's not super simple. It's a little bit complex, like the whole, you know, you have to spend stacks to mine it. You know, and once you get it, then you have to stack it. You know, like what's the long-term value? Like all of these things. When people get into the CityCoins, like those things aren't immediately, there's no centralized source that tells you, or decentralized source for that matter, that tells you this is where, like this is what CityCoins are all about. Here's the long-term value. You know, like there's nothing that really spells that out. So I think education is like really important. And so we actually recently had a conversation with some folks that do gamified like corporate education. So it's like a mobile platform, and they effectively take like educational content and they turn it into like a game. And they've, they're a startup. I think they're relatively well off startup. Like I think they have quite a bit of traction actually, and they've got quite a few corporate clients, and they're trying to expand into Web3, and they actually think CityCoins is a great place to go. And so we've been in talks with them about maybe helping to, you know, build out some of the educational content, maybe fund CityCoin rewards for completing the, you know, the games, those kinds of things, right? And I think that would go really far. And actually, we hope to incorporate this also on our website, civitamining.com.
Yeah, I think that's critical. The education part is the biggest lagging factor, along with just a super easy onboarding experience. Because I don't think you'll see like Bitcoin go crazy mass adoption until like Lightning is as easy to use as like Cash App is. Or using CityCoins in like a coffee shop isn't as hard as like using your Starbucks app on your phone. And you just you reload your card, and then it has a QR code and it scans, and that's it. Do you think it's safe to say then that there's like a two-sided marketplace here, where because you're saying that the price action will mostly come from the utility of the individual coin, how it's implemented at the local level. So I can see how at the local level there's, most people are just going to buy on an exchange or however they get it. They're not going to necessarily be mining, but some people will. But they'll be using the coin for things. They'll be going to the coffee shop or buying furniture or whatever it is, or paying their parking tickets potentially with CityCoins. And then the mining aspect will probably be more driven by the global crypto economy, and they'll be operating on the arbitrage aspect of it, or the how the city is implementing and the price appreciation of that token potentially. Do you think that's a fair way to look at the landscape?
I think it's probably too early to say, to be completely honest. You know, I think we have to see, you know, we have to see that integration get built out and see how folks, you know, interact with CityCoins, right? I do think that, you know, the potential does exist for a lot of folks to get involved in mining. I don't see why folks couldn't get involved in mining, right? Simply because, you know, if you create a platform that is straightforward enough and simple enough and people understand it, maybe that's how people get access to CityCoins, right? Maybe they get access to CityCoins through mining. Just my thoughts.
No, I think that if we could educate that part, that would be ideal, because instead of having to go to an exchange and buy it for whatever price you want, if the mining pool gets advanced enough with maybe some analytics or at least just a history of expected returns, you could pretty much, you can't guarantee anything, but you can almost guarantee that they'll get some subset of coins, but you also get the added benefit of feeding the city's wallet. And if you're a stacker, you're helping aid in that stacking mechanism too. So it has more pros than just straight buying from an exchange does.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I kind of view it as like, if you stop and think about like the way that a business finances itself, you know, like in the equity markets, for instance, there's like an initial public offering like an IPO, and then there's like secondary trading of the stock, right? So if you participate in the IPO, you are directly funding the business. If you trade it in the secondary market, you are effectively, you're not funding the business, right? You're just speculating on the value of the company or the value of, or maybe you just want ownership in the company or whatever it is, right? I think the same is true of Citicoins, where the mining is like a perpetual IPO effectively, and the trading of the Citicoins is like, you know, trading in the secondary. And, you know, like both of those things are going to have some place in the future. You know, because people that do mine Citicoins, maybe they decide, you know, they're overexposed to one particular Citicoin, or they want to get into a different one, or maybe they want to diversify their portfolio, whatever it is, right? There's definitely going to be a place for both of those things. But I think for those that are really interested in, you know, supporting their city or, you know, whatever city it is, they would probably tend toward mining because they want to have that direct impact, you know, with their city, I think.
Yeah, it's a big value add. But yeah, this has been super interesting. I want to start to close this down, and I'd love to hear what can people expect in the next, say, 6 months from Cyberether Guild and this kind of like mining focused approach you guys are going with right now.
Yeah, you know, I know for a fact NVIDIA and Dio are working very hard on building out and bringing some additional functionality to our website. So I'm not going to say anything more than that, just because it's a competitive market and, you know, we want to keep it under wraps until we're ready to release. But, you know, that's, you know, we have some big things planned for CyVitaMining.com. And, you know, we're going to keep mining. You know, I think that that's kind of our, you know, our focus is to just make sure that we continue to execute on and do what we're doing well. So
very cool. Well, yeah, I've participated in the mining along with you guys since the beginning. It's been probably some of the most fun I've had in Stack since I've been in the ecosystem. So I definitely encourage anybody, whether you're like Citicoins or just want to experiment and you just got Stacks just chilling, check it out. Where can people go if they want to participate?
Yeah, so CyVitaMining.com is where you're going to go if you want to contribute Stacks to either our Miami coin mining pool or our New York City coin mining pool. Right now, both of those pools are closed. They're open for limited windows around the start of each cycle. So if you're curious and you want to join in, or you know, you want to have an idea of you know, when those pools will open up, I would encourage you to join the CyVita Discord. So that's discord.gg/CyVita, CyVita. Yeah, join our Discord. You know, come hang out with us. You know, we have a pretty vibrant community. We got a lot of folks that are very helpful in, you know, helping new folks get onboarded and figure out what mining is all about and, you know, how to participate and how it all works. And, you know, we're going to try our best to publish some docs and some educational material around how people can get involved as well.
Beautiful. I got no more questions, but do you guys have any other closing thoughts before we shut it down?
Thanks for being in our pool, man. We really appreciate it. And thanks for having us on here. You know, we really do appreciate that as well.
It's my pleasure. NVIDIA, what you got?
There's just a severe lack.
Yeah, no, I'm super down. I think there's just a severe lack of content and exploring all the nuance in the ecosystem. So
I was just gonna say thanks again. I mean, we're regular listeners. We just caught up on your last one with Mike Sarasati. I think is how you pronounce his last name. Is really good. So, well, like you said, we're all building together, right?
Yep, 100%. And Mike, he made the interview process super easy. He makes me look good because he's just so good. Like, it really made me realize, like, I asked him some questions about how to engage your community. And, you know, I've done enough of these now that I could see how some people get tripped up by the way I ask a question. And it can kind of throw off, like, they have to process how I'm thinking about it or how am I wrong and that word's off and they have to tweak it. But he is definitely a master of being able to kind of, like, take what you said, make you feel heard, but then roll with the punches and shift the topic just enough that You know, if I ask a question like, you know, is government unwilling to innovate? Like, that's kind of a loaded question, and I didn't mean it that way. And he'll just shift it to be like, yeah, well, you know, cities aren't startups. So, and then go into his next little riff. Like, it, as I hear that, I'm definitely like, there's life lessons in there of how to engage with people and still make them feel understood, heard, but also give your expertise and have you have it without having to just kind of like talk over people. So, yeah, Sarasti's a beast, and I highly encourage everyone, especially if you're interested in city coins. That's a must watch for sure.
Yeah, he definitely, he's a master about bridging it. I'm glad that he's kind of our mouthpiece to the city. And I would just encourage anyone who's like, has some uncertainty or doubt about the city coins project is to listen to that interview, because like we're so early, right? Like Bowtie was saying, it seems like all the coins that are hot right now are derived from some type of dog. But the projects that are going to last are projects like city coins. And I mean, you have the Stacks accelerator now that's funding projects built on it. The city plans to do a lot with it. We ourselves are looking at a bunch of different utilities that we can apply. And so it's very exciting. I would just say, you know, make sure you're hodling your city coins.
Yeah, I listened to that. I did that interview, and then as soon as it was over and like the video was processing, I went and just dropped a few more hundred on KuCoin just because I was so bullish after the call. I was like, man, I got to. This is foolish not to.
I was going to say that's exactly how I am. I'm looking at the price last night, and I'm like, this is such a discount. I need to buy some more.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. Miami Coin is the project, man. I think it's the city coin, right? It's because first off, they have first mover advantage, right? They have the lead. And then on top of that, you have like a very engaged mayor and CIO, right? Chief Innovation Officer. It's amazing.
Yep, 100%. Like I think that New York as like the finance capital of the world is interesting. And the fact that it has like the Bit license and kind of a storied history with Bitcoin and crypto, it could be a good Trojan horse, but the way that Miami is kind of like, they're already doing the ethos of a lot of crypto, like, you know, believe in capitalism, pro tech, low taxes, like just let the people do their thing. But behind closed doors, like there's a ton of innovation that I think we're going to see start to trickle out in the next 6 to 12 months. That's going to put Miami Coin pretty securely at the top if I had to bet on it. So I think the future of civic engagement's exciting, and you know, if you're hearing this, you don't think that you're late because, you know, we're on pool number 7 or whatever it is. Like, it's still super, super, super early.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin. I know that things don't always go